This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for lectures, features, and radio shows. And now, here's Coy Barefoot.
Bob Gibson is the political reporter for the Charlottesville Daily Progress. He joins us on Monday afternoons to talk politics. Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon. Great to join you on a week that we may get our first snow.
Yeah, Wednesday night, they say.
That's the night of the Syracuse game.
That is indeed. Hope folks don't get caught. Of course, they're not saying it's some big, huge snow.
No, they're not.
It's just a chance of flurries.
Yeah, I don't think it's any big deal.
But that'll set a nice seasonal scene for us.
It feels like winter out there.
It does indeed. And you were traveling over the past few days, weren't you? You went up to Northern Virginia.
Spent the weekend in Arlington, my hometown.
Yeah, you did. That's where you're from?
Yeah, it was very nice up there.
And where was the, this was the Republican Party advance. They don't like to say retreat, so they say advance.
Right. It was a weekend retreat that they call in advance, and they held it in Crystal City at a big old hotel.
And a lot of news coming out of that. I guess the big news, what is the big news that came out of the advance?
Well, there were two things. Actually, there were three things. One is that Ron Paul surprised a lot of people by taking their straw poll. They charged $35 for anyone who was a Republican activist to come in and vote for their favorite candidate for president. And there are enough of them, you know, running. So there were a lot of folks coming in to vote in the poll. But Ron Paul's folks took this a lot more seriously, apparently, than Fred Thompson's or some of the other candidates. Thompson finished
second. So Ron Paul won the straw poll among Virginia Republicans.
Right. Got 182 of his voters out at $35 a pop. You know, they paid their own fees. I don't think the campaign paid him. I think they have a real volunteer grassroots organization. And, you know, the folks who were trying to discredit Ron Paul's win were saying, oh, they bust him in. They bust him in. I was there. I didn't see any buses. And these folks came on their own. I saw them walking blocks.
What does that mean for Ron Paul or Virginia? What Virginia Republicans? Does it mean anything?
I mean, no. I mean, a straw poll with 500 people means that 500 people divided out many different ways, and Ron Paul had the most folks who were actually there, you know, committed. But it doesn't indicate how Virginia is going to vote on February 12th when the state has two presidential primaries, a Republican Party presidential primary with eight candidates and a Democratic Party presidential primary with eight candidates. And who knows? The races may not be decided yet. Everybody's saying they're going to be decided by February 5th, super-duper Tuesday, but it's possible that February 12th, Virginia might be relevant.
Yeah. We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. The Republican advance was held in Arlington, Virginia recently, and Bob was there. So Ron Paul wins the straw poll, and Chris Saxman makes a big announcement at
the
advance.
He and Jim Gilmore each spoke to the gathering. There were about 600 Republicans there in the room, and Saxman gave a very nice speech about how he intends to set up a federal political action committee to start gathering money to help the party build for the future and support candidates, but he's not going to be one of them. Statewide, either this year or next year. Next year or in 09.
What do you think happened? Because we were talking last week how he couldn't lose if he stood for Senate. He would increase his name recognition. It just seemed like a very smart, savvy thing to do for a guy who perhaps wanted to run for statewide office down the road. And now he's saying not only does he not want to be in U.S. Senate, he doesn't want to run for statewide office down the road.
Well, one of the reasons clearly that he decided not to run was there is a ban on fundraising during the General Assembly for anyone who's in the legislature. And the General Assembly starts on January 9th, and it goes 60 days this year. So with 60 days of banned fundraising, even though technically he wouldn't be banned because he'd be a federal candidate for a federal election if he ran for the U.S. Senate, he decided that it would be, and I think he's right, viewed as unethical or slightly not above board if
wouldn't
he were
pass
to,
the smell test.
If he were to collect money during the session to run for a federal office. So he said, I'm just not going to take the chance. I'm not going to collect the money. I'm not going to and that leaves very little time before their May 31st convention for the Republican Senate nomination to oppose Governor Mark Warner, who is going to be the, you know, strong favorite in that race anyway.
Yeah.
So it looks like Jim Gilmore has a clear path without Chris Saxman standing in his way to the nomination.
And the latest on Bob Marshall is he announced that he wants to take Gilmore on for the party's nomination?
He was there Friday night at the advance, and he told a lot of people he was thinking about it, but he wouldn't commit. And then he gave a 1,000-word statement to a friend on the Loudoun County Republican Committee who read his 1,000-word statement after both Saxman and Gilmore spoke. And the 1,000-word statement didn't clear things up. It just sort of knocked Gilmore for not being a true conservative and knocked Saxman for not being a true conservative in Bob Marshall's view. and didn't declare one way or the other what Bob Marshall's intentions are. Said he's still considering it.
Yeah. You know, you got to, we're talking with Bob Gibson of The Progress. You got to hand it to Chris Saxman. It's a pretty admirable thing to do, even though he knows, well, it'd be legally right. He's not going to play that game. Hey, folks, it's legally correct. He recognizes that this probably wouldn't pass the smell test to most voters. And, you know, why take the chance of damaging my reputation over that?
Chris Saxman has a very positive image among party insiders and party regulars and voters in the Shenandoah Valley, where they know him because he's a delegate from Stanton, has been since 2002. A very positive image as a forward-looking conservative who stands on principle. He doesn't run around knocking other Republicans the way some do. And he didn't want to take the chance that his effort would not be as successful as it might be were he to have those 60 days to go out and raise cash.
Yeah. The other big news coming out of the Republican advance in Arlington last week, into last week, was that the Republican Party had decided not to require an oath. Explain this to us. What was going on with that?
Well, they had gone before the State Board of Elections just the previous week, 1 week ago today, and gotten the State Board to okay a loyalty oath, not technically an oath. They called it a pledge of intent, that said, I, the undersigned, pledge to support the nominee of the Republican Party for president. And you had to sign that to get a ballot to vote in their February 12th Republican primary with all these candidates running for president. And they got a lot of flack over that. An awful lot of people said, why are you trying to keep people out of your primary? And the Democrats have a primary the same day. They have about as many candidates running for president as the Republicans do. They aren't going to cross over and vote in a Republican Party primary on February 12th. They've got their own primary to worry about.
Was that the intent of the oath, is to stop Democrats from voting in
because
their
Republicans
primary?
Have this idea that somehow Democrats are going to come in en masse and screw up their primary by picking somebody who would be a weaker candidate. It's sort of an urban myth. It doesn't really happen.
Because studies show not only does it not happen on days when the Democrats don't have a primary, but the Democrats have their own primary that day, and you can't vote in both.
So the real effect of the pledge was to sort of inhibit the vote of independents and people who aren't considering themselves normal Republican voters. And they caught so much flack, a lot of it from Republican voters.
And that was national news, actually.
Oh, yeah, that they decided quickly, and I think rightly, to repeal their request for the oath.
Yeah, so that is now scrapped. It is not required.
The pledge of intent will not be required. Any registered Virginia voter can go to the polls on February 12th, and you can vote in one or the other primary. You can vote in the Democratic presidential primary if you like a Democratic candidate for president, or you can vote in the Republican presidential primary if you like a Republican candidate. You can't vote in both.
Interesting. We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, and you are the proud new proprietor of your very own blog. Sort of the 21st century column now online. The title, of course, you no confusion here, Blogging Virginia Politics with Bob Gibson. There you go. It says it all.
It's fun. It's fun. You know, there are a lot of things that you run into when you're reporting that you can't throw in your story because, you know, we have set lengths for the reporting we do. And a lot of things are personal or small, just too small to stick in there. And a blog is a great chance to talk about some of the things that just didn't make it into the news that day.
Yeah, and this is for folks who are looking for it. You can just go to dailyprogress.com, and there's a link there right there with your picture that'll take you straight to it. Give us an idea of some of the things you've been writing about.
Well, today I wrote about the Republican advance straw poll that Ron Paul ran away with. He had 38% of the vote, 182 votes, to 23% for second place finisher Fred Thompson. 51 votes or 10% for Mike Huckabee, who finished third, and then Romney and Giuliani and McCain trailed them. So a lot of people who were for the candidates doing better in the polls were trying to say that Ron Paul had bussed people in and somehow were trying to besmirch his efforts to take the straw poll. He just put more effort into it than their campaigns did, as he has done in a number of states.
They wanted to win that straw poll.
So they were saying, a bunch of guys were saying, look, just throw out number one. The real winner was the number two guy, Fred Thompson. So I say in the blog today, that's a really great way for a political party to accumulate a lot of silver medals.
Yeah, there you go. It is so strange, though, because as you were saying last week, you've got George Allen and Bob McDonnell who are for Thompson, Bill Bowling who's for Mitt Romney, Speaker Howell is for Huckabee,
right?
And yet Ron Paul wins the straw poll.
Well, it shows that the leaders were not driving the troops out. They weren't trying to win the poll. They really, it was just the same group of 500 to 600 party regulars and activists who normally attend these events, plus 100 and some Ron Paul folks who decided to go in and participate in the straw poll.
And win it. Which, you know, it does say something about the folks who are for Ron Paul. It's like those folks who were for Howard Dean before he crashed. These were true believers. They really, truly believed in the candidate, in the man. They weren't just sort of saying, yeah, I could vote for him. They wanted to really see him win.
They are more motivated right now in terms of fundraising on the internet, in terms of turning out crowds. They're more motivated than a lot of these other candidates are, the supporters of a lot of these other candidates. And Ron Paul is contributing a great deal to this election, whether you realize it or not. He's changing the conversation that's happening at the top. He is getting his issues addressed that wouldn't normally be addressed in a Republican gathering of presidential candidates. So I think the mainstream media, as people like to call it, or the national media, has for too long ignored and downplayed the Ron Paul phenomenon. It's real.
Yeah. Bob Gibson with the Charlottesville Daily Progress. You can read his work in the paper and online at dailyprogress.com. Let us go turn now, if we can, to your column from yesterday, from Sunday, Political Notebook column, U.S. Must Understand the New Islam.
The speaker, Ahmed Akbar Ahmed, he is a former Pakistani ambassador, high commissioner to Great Britain. He's an American University professor who is an expert on modern Islam. And he has been an executive in Pakistan, a commissioner in Waziristan, which is the part of the country closest to Afghanistan. He helped administer part of South Waziristan. And he was talking to a packed crowd at the Washington and Lee Chapel, Washington Lee University in Lexington, last week about the need for Americans to understand that Islam is not a monolithic bunch of crazed people who are out to get us. And as long as we think they are, we're missing the boat and formulating a foreign policy that won't work.
Yeah.
So he made a lot
of
sense.
Too broad of a brush, you mean?
Very broad brush. You know, there are many, many ethnic and national and other divisions among Islamic residents of the world, 1.7 million and 50-some nations, that are predominantly Islamic.
Yeah, because there are moderate Christians as well who don't do everything that the Bible tells you to do, and it really is sort of the fanatical wing of Islam that would read the Quran and say, well, this book tells me to go kill people who don't believe like I do.
It's a very small minority of Islamic radicals who are causing trouble in a number of nations and trying to kill Americans in a number of places around the world. And when you formulate your foreign policy on the basis of that being the majority, you are perhaps hurting yourself, your image around the world.
Right, right. The Washington and Lee Chapel, by the way, I just have to say as an aside, is a wonderful place to hear a speaker. I don't know if most folks in Charlottesville probably haven't had that
really
joy,
is.
But it's fantastic. It's more
intimate than old Cabell Hall at the university.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very nice setting for a speaker.
Right. And you also reported recently, Bob Gibson with the Charlottesville Daily Progress, that we've got a couple of folks here in Central Virginia in the House of Delegates who are going to be taking the lead to reexamine Virginia's mental health laws here in the wake of the tragedy at Virginia Tech.
Delegates Rob Bell of Albemarle, the Republican, and David Toscano of Charlottesville, the Democrat, are both on a 7-member panel that is now being set up in the Courts of Justice Committee to vet all of the mental health legislation that deals with commitments. And there's going to be a lot of mental health bills put in because of the Virginia Tech tragedy. And really the ignorance that has surrounded mental health legislation in the past, it's something that people haven't paid a lot of attention to until this year. And it's something that since deinstitutionalization occurred back in the 1970s, there hasn't been a lot of change in state law. So, you know, with newer medications coming online to help patients, it's a time now for tightening up some of the really outdated Virginia laws dealing with mental health and institutionalization and commitments.
And we're going to see that in January with the new General Assembly session. Plus, it'll be the big budget session.
It is. I mean, they're going to have to do more with less.
Yeah.
Which is going to make it very interesting.
Bob Gibson is the political reporter for the Charlottesville Daily Progress and joins us on Monday afternoons. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show is on the air Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 in the afternoon. Join in on the show by calling 434-977-1070 or feel free to leave a comment on the show at SevillePodcast.com. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.